Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to answer some more YouTube questions for you here. I think this is a great way to expand on some of the questions I'm asked on YouTube, which is a platform where I put a lot of my content. And some of these questions I think you'll find helpful for yourself, for your own pool, or on your pool route. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. The first question is a really common one, and I get this one a lot. It says, "Hi, great video. How can I tell how much chemicals add to bring the levels to where they should be?" This was a video where I showed myself cleaning a pool. It's cleaning a pool step by step or something like that. And I would say that this is a really complicated question to answer and just like a little YouTube comment blurb. But you have to know a few things about the pool itself. The first thing, of course, is the pool size, how many gallons of water are in the pool. Now, there are many online calculators that will help you with this. There's even one on the Pentair site to calculate the pool volume, but you'd have to measure the length and width of the pool, and then you would take the average depth and divide it by 7.48, which is the amount of water in 1 gallon of water, and that would give you the pool size. It's kind of one of those things where it's not going to be exact, but you'll get an idea within maybe 500 to 1,000 gallons in most cases, unless your math is like extremely way off, and that's close enough to calculate how much chemicals to add. So the first thing you need to do is test the water, of course, and see where you're at as far as the chemistry. And then after you test the water, you can either use a tailored test kit, there's actually a guide on what to add to the pool. But I think the online apps are probably best, and they're much more modern and easier to use than the kind of booklets that come in the test kits. So I would recommend the poolcalculator.com, that's www.poolcalculator.com. Probably don't need to say www. but it's just a habit. And I think it's a great app. You put in your pool size, you put in the readings you've gotten. What I like about the pool calculator, it also does borate, so you can calculate how much borate to add to the water. And to me, it's a very accurate calculator. So, you know, if the pH is 8.2, and you just put that in there, and you put the gallons, of course, at the top, how many gallons your pool is, it'll tell you how much muriatic acid to add, and you can change the percentage, because sometimes you're using acid from Home Depot, and it's like 15%. If you use the pool store acid, or if you're a pool pro and you get it from your wholesaler, it's going to be at 31%. And so it's good that the calculator has different percentages. Same with the chlorine. If you're going to bring your chlorine level up, let's say you tested your pool, and it's at 1.0, and you want to bring it to 4 parts per million, then it will tell you how much to add based on the percentage of the liquid chlorine, or if you're adding Cal Hypo. And this is something that I think is important because the different chlorine types, you have to add a different amount of that. So it's a pretty complicated question, and I've been talking for, you know, like 3 minutes now, roughly. There's no way I can answer that accurately on YouTube. So I just typed in, go to this site, and you know, you can put your readings in and you'll get the amount to add. So I think that's the long answer to a pretty complicated, actually a short answer to a complicated question, which is the long answer to what it would have been on YouTube. The next thing here is actually a comment or a tip that I think you would benefit from. And it says, what I usually do with my D filter is when cleaning by removing the lid, I also remove the pump lid so the pool loses prime. And even if it turns back on while I'm removing the clamp, it won't catch prime and cause an explosion since it's full of air. Or just close the main suction valve if the lid is tight to remove. I probably wouldn't do the second part, But the first part of removing the lid is pretty smart, and I do this on occasion. I have a few pools where the backwash valve isn't working properly, and it's usually they fail on the 2,000 and 4,000 filters all the time because that rotor gets jammed up and it's really complicated to change it out in a lot of cases. And so what I do with those pools is I'll take the pump lid off and I'll let everything drain back out, and some of the gray water will come out of the pump. But it's a good idea to prevent any kind of hazard if you're cleaning a filter, especially if you're just started and you're kind of new. I would say taking the pump lid off is a smart thing to do because then the pool can't prime. There's no danger of the pool turning back on and causing that filter lid to come off while you're putting the clamp on. And this doesn't happen to me because I'm pretty careful, but there have been occasions where I have forgotten to actually turn off the time clock or the breaker. And I've caught myself, before I do anything that I forgot to do that. So there is a possibility of you forgetting to turn off the power to the pump, putting it in timeout mode if it's an automated system. So this is a good secondary way of preventing any kind of dangerous explosion while you're putting that clamp on, because that's the most dangerous part of when you clean the filter. When you're putting that clamp back on, if the pool were to suddenly come back on and the filter would pressurize, that clamp is not secure yet, and all that pressure will cause the lid to be dislodged in a way that could injure you. I've heard different, examples of this where the filter lid is actually in the customer's front yard. It actually blew over the house and landed in the front yard. So it's a possibility that this would be a fatal encounter, and taking the pump lid off is a pretty smart thing. So this is definitely a great tip and something you can implement out there on your pool route when you're doing 80 filters during your filter cleaning time, and you do kind of go into a routine and your brain kind of goes numb on you, and it's a great safety measure. This one says, I have a saltwater pool. I just put the Polar-X in the skimmer in April and let it stay in there all summer. I don't put it in my pump basket. Is this okay? I think the only reason that I put the Polar-X in the pump basket, well, there's a couple reasons why I like the pump basket more than the skimmer basket. The first reason is that if you put it in the skimmer basket, there's a chance that someone could throw it away. And this has happened. I have a buddy who has some employees on his pool route, and he puts Polar-X in the pools, and his employees threw away all the Polar-X for those, for 30 pools on accident. They didn't know what it was, and they just dumped it out with the debris in the basket. And those aren't cheap to replace, and it's very frustrating when someone throws it away. I mean, you could tie it into the skimmer basket, but to me, I think the pump basket is the safest location for it because chances are the customer is not going to clean out the pump basket and throw the Polar-X away. On occasion, I've seen them remove it and put it like by the equipment, not knowing what it is. Why is this in my basket? So, of course, you have to be clear to your customer, before you sell them the Polar-X, show them what it looks like. Let them know that it's a 6-month algicide and not to throw away the little case that it comes in because there's the anode in there also, and it makes it ineffective without it. How long will the Polar-X mineral stay in the pool without it? Probably for a month without the Polar-X anode and in the plastic case. So you definitely want to keep that in there. And the reason I put it in the pump basket again is that it's hard to throw that away on accident. And I feel like there's more flow going into the pump basket than the skimmer basket because you're getting the full suction going over that Polar-X. Regardless if you have a cleaner connected at a side port, the pump basket is going to have a lot more flow than the skimmer basket. But mainly, I put it in the pump basket to avoid accidentally tossing it out by the customer, because a lot of customers actually clean out their skimmer basket during the week. Maybe they'll get a mild windstorm and they'll clean it out and dump it and not realize that the Polar-X was in there. So for kind of the safety of the unit, I put it in the pump basket to avoid that happening. Here's a question that I get asked often, also from the pool pros. Which method do you think is more effective, the full price or the service plus chems? Think they both have pros and cons. Yeah, and they do have pros and cons, of course. And Skimmer just recently did a survey of the pool industry of 1,700 pool pros, and they found that people that were charging all-inclusive service were actually charging less than those that were charging for chems and everything else separately. So the white glove service, as I call it, is which means that you include all the chemicals, you include the filter cleaning, just about everything that goes with the pool, you're including in your rate. I think there's some drawbacks with this. the first drawback and the primary one that I think that is going to affect you when you bid the white glove service is the fact that your rate is going to be a lot higher than someone bidding that pool that itemizes the chemicals. Now, I still include the maintenance dose of chlorine and acid in my service. I don't charge for every single chemical. Some people charge for everything separately, and that's perfectly fine, but I still include a little bit of chemicals. But besides the maintenance dose of muriatic acid and chlorine, everything else is charged for, including the filter cleanings every 6 months, and you may do them even, you know, you may do them every 4 months, but I charge for everything. So when you're bidding a pool, and I'll just use this example, let's say that your white glove service comes in at $250 a month because you include filter cleanings, the 3-inch trichlor tablets, and everything else. But someone else is bidding that pool for $200 a month, and they charge extra for tablets, any other chemical besides the maintenance dose of liquid chlorine and acid. They also charge for the filter cleaning. Which bid do you think the customer is going to go with? And I would say that most will go with the lower bid, even though technically it's not lower if you add all the other things into the bid. So I think the white glove service does have a drawback when you're bidding. Now, of course, it's much easier to do your accounting because you're just charging a flat rate for everyone across the board. It's also a better method, I think, if you have employees, because it's hard for employees to let you know what chemicals they put in. And it also is hard for you to kind of bill for filter cleaning. So they may do it at different times of the month or different months of the year. And so everything's all over the place and it makes your billing a lot more difficult. And I would say that it's easier to manage a business using the white glove service method, but you're leaving some money on the table, I think, and some pools may cost you more than others. And so it's smart to just charge for, in my opinion, to charge for 3-inch trichlor tablets when the pool needs it. So if you have a saltwater pool, of course, you're not charging for that. And also to charge for all the chemicals you add to the pool. The drawback, of course, with itemizing everything is that you may forget things or it makes things complicated. Everyone's getting a different amount every month on their invoice. And this is something that's kind of complicated in a way. And so if you're really looking for a simple way to run your business, of course, do the all-inclusive and realize the drawbacks of that. And if you really want to maximize your profits, I think doing the itemized billing is the way to go. And that's the way that I do my service billing. And I would say the last factor is this something that's common in your area? So if everyone's doing all-inclusive service, you may just want to do that because everyone's doing it. And if you're in an area where they do itemized billing, you may want to stick with that method just to make it easy for you when you're doing the bidding. If everyone's, of course, charging all-inclusive, all the bids will be within the same range. And I think, again, that's easy to account for, and a lot of people like doing that. The last question I have here, and this one here I get just about every week. It says, great vid, if I run a pool cleaner, Hayward, etc., what RPM should I have the speed set at? And this was one of the questions from the VS Hayward VS Pumps where I showed them how to program it and the different speeds. And this is a question that is hard to answer without actually being at the pool site, but I can give you some rules of thumb. I think in most cases, if you have an automatic cleaner connected at the side port of the pool, 2600 RPMs would be sufficient to run that cleaner because you're adjusting the side port valve to give that cleaner suction. And if you're at 2600 RPMs, that should be enough to get that cleaner moving, but still have enough flow to the skimmer. And this is the key factor of adjusting an automatic cleaner that's on a side port, is that there's enough flow going to the skimmer still, because basically at low speeds, the cleaner's not going to move and you want some skimming action. And so let's say you set it at 2400 RPMs and you have the valve almost all the way closed on the skimmer and almost all the way open on the cleaner line. That's fine when the cleaner's running, but when the pool's running at 1800 RPMs, the skimmer's not going to have a lot of suction at all because, again, you have 80% of the suction going to the cleaner that's kind of sitting on the bottom at low speed. And so the way that you want to do this is you want to make sure that when you have it at that higher speed, the cleaner is moving, and then the skimmer is also doing its part by pulling debris and water to the pump at a pretty good rate. Because what tends to happen if the cleaner gets stuck on some debris and you don't have enough skimming power. And if customers use the pool and they somehow knock the cleaner loose and the side port closes, if you have 80% of the suction going to the side port and this happens, then you're going to have a pool that's not really running during the week. So the rule is with a cleaner at the side port that you want to make sure that you don't have that valve more than 60%, you know, open to the skimmer, and you still have plenty of suction going to this to the skimmer. So you don't want all the suction going to the cleaner to get it moving. So if you have to go to 2800 RPMs, that's perfectly acceptable. There are a few pools out there where I need to be at 3100 RPMs for this to work successfully. So the cleaner is moving and the skimmer is also working at the same time. Now, if the cleaner is connected at the skimmer, it's a lot easier to adjust this because you have the regulator with the cleaner, then you have the skimmer, only one place where you're having the water come into. And you can easily get away with the cleaner connected at the skimmer at 2600 RPMs because there's a regulator with the cleaner itself that will let water through. But again, sometimes you're going to need to have it at 2800 RPMs. It all depends on the pool system, how the pump is, how everything is running. But the rule of thumb is if you have it on the side port, you don't want the majority of suction going to that, going to the cleaner when it's on a higher speed because it could be ineffective at a lower speed. And the same thing connected at the skimmer. You want to make sure you have enough RPMs where the cleaner's moving and you're going to see a pretty good flow on the skimmer. Just in case something were to happen to the cleaner, debris gets jammed in there, you would just want to have plenty of water going into the skimmer in that case. And on low speeds, you want to have some skimmer action and not just have all the water kind of sit dead in the pool. So adjusting it is kind of like a skill, and you can, I have videos on setting up cleaners and I show you, and some of them how to adjust the side port for that. And I think you can watch those videos. I think the Max install and the Atlas install are my latest ones where I show adjusting the side port suction to those cleaners with a variable speed pump. If you're looking for other podcasts I've recorded, you can find those on my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. On the banner, click on the podcast icon. And then a drop-down menu of the podcast I recorded will appear there. And if you're interested in the coaching program that I offer, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.